Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, maintaining and operating the 800-mile Trans-Alaska Pipeline since 1977. Learn more at alyeskapipeline.com.
Winter in Alaska can be lots of fun. It can also get long, and deep cold combined with darkness can make even the most optimistic among us get a little anxious, a little less productive, a little cranky. Instead of dreading the long northern winter, there are ways to embrace it and enjoy the snow. Join us for a discussion and tips on how to love winter today on Talk of Alaska.
I'm Theo Greenlee, a reporter with the Alaska Desk. That's a joint reporting effort from Alaska Public Media and KUCB, where I work in On Alaska, and other public radio stations in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Haines, and the Aleutians. It allows us to connect you with the issues happening in communities all across the state. You can hear our stories during the morning news, Alaska News Nightly, or online at alaskapublic.org. The Alaska Desk is only possible with the support of grants and listeners like you. Thank you.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
This is Talk of Alaska, and I'm Hannah Floor, in for Lori Townsend. If you, like me, have experienced frozen pipes, painful falls on the ice, or hours of snow shoveling during winter months, you might think winter is to be endured, not embraced. There are lots of opportunities in the cold months, both indoors and out. I love getting out to see the northern lights more often, feeling more inspired to cook and bake, and the quiet when I go hiking in the snow. Embracing life in the north is at the heart of our new series. It's called the Alaska Survival Kit. You can find stories about loving the outdoors, fun ideas for inside gatherings, and ways to keep your skin from becoming parched at our website, alaskapublic.org. And our guests today on Talk of Alaska have all found ways to embrace winter and share their ideas as part of the Alaska Survival Kit. Here in the studio with me, we have Maggie Wilson. She's an Anchorage resident who loves being outdoors.
That's Wilkinson.
Oh, I am so sorry. Thank you for that correction. And we have Rainey Malone.
Hi.
Hi. You're a mental health support specialist for Alaska Behavioral Health. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Victoria Peterson.
Hello.
Hello. And Victoria is an Anchorage-based journalist who also has great tips for enjoying the winter months. And full disclosure, Victoria works part-time at Alaska Public Media as a web editor and producer. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I want to start off just talking about what you love about the deep winter. We have come out of a super, super cold weekend. Now we've got a giant snow dump. It is prime winter at this moment. What is it that you love about winter? Can you start off, Maggie?
Well, I am experiencing a flashback to my childhood with this kind of winter. Uh-huh. I like winter to really be winter and not a mishmash of spring, summer, fall, rain, slop. You know, this to me is the best kind of winter. Where there's no doubt in your mind that you are in the season of winter. So put on your boots, put on your coat, zip up, and get out and enjoy it.
What about you, Victoria?
I think winter is just so beautiful. Like, even just the drive here, I mean, it was a little chaotic with all the stuck cars and the plows and stuff, but it's so pretty. It's pretty to look at outside or inside. It's just cozy. I think in Alaska, where our summers are just so hectic and manic, we need this time to slow down, and I really appreciate that about winter.
Rainey?
Yeah, I totally agree with both of them. Like, it's so beautiful, and the snow, yes, is great, because before it was like spring break, and I was like, what the heck? But this is so gorgeous, like driving, especially to the studio, it looks like Narnia with the snow on the trees and the lampposts.
Yeah.
And it is cozy. It's cozy season for sure.
Yeah, I was just telling my daughter about The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and showing her the preview because I was reminded of Narnia as well. So I mentioned at the top that Alaska Public Media just launched the Alaska Survival Kit, and all three of you were either directly or indirectly involved in one of the first episodes. Rainey, you talked to reporter Rachel Cassandra for her story about ways to feel better in the dark days of winter. I want to start off just talking about how darkness affects our bodies and our emotions. Why do we have to deal with darkness and how it affects us?
Yeah, so it greatly affects our circadian rhythm, which is what tells our body to go to sleep and to wake up. And the darkness tells our body that, it's that cozy season, but, it's too cozy. So now I just want to be in bed all the time, and I'm, lacking motivation. And then emotionally, when we don't have the sunshine and the vitamin D that we need, we get deficient. And so we start to feel kind of low and sluggish, and we get really sad, and that seasonal depression kicks in.
So it's a two-part thing. It's a lack of vitamin D that sort of causes the emotional state, and then it's the long days that affect our circadian rhythms and make us sleep. Is the staying in bed, wanting to sleep for 12 hours, is that also affecting our emotional
state? Absolutely, because we'll want to isolate more, and without that motivation to socialize or be around people or stay at home too frequently, then we're missing that stimulation that we need that kind of helps our emotions kind of be more alert.
Interesting. Okay. And that segues really nicely into Victoria. I did a story about finding new ways to gather beyond the classic sort of dinner party, book club, craft night. You weren't in the story, but you were really instrumental in figuring out what the story was because you're so creative about getting together with friends. Tell us some of your favorite ways to gather and how that changes your experience of winter time.
One of the things I like to do when it's starting to get cold is I like to get my closest friends together and do a winter bucket list where we write down, just cooking projects we want to do or parties we want to have or meetups we want to have or goals that we've set for ourselves. We usually just go to a coffee shop or all host cafes a lot in the winter. Not a lot, twice in the winter. But, my husband will make coffee and I'll have some kind of tea and treats on the table, and people can kind of come and go as they please to just visit and make these winter bucket lists, which I feel like kind of sets intention for the season and makes it less daunting. I think a lot of my friends don't like winter and aren't looking forward to it. But I think, taking the time to look ahead and set these goals and have these things to look forward to really helps.
So are you sort of the ringleader or the cheerleader for the bucket list? Are you the one who's getting everybody together to push them to think about what they want to do? Or do you just have a group of friends who are very excited to be socially creative?
I'd say that they're excited to do it, but I'm definitely okay, who wants to make bucket lists with me? I'm doing it. I have all the markers and the paper and all that. So, yeah.
And what sorts of things are going on there?
So on mine, I have some cooking projects I want to do. I want to make a mushroom pot pie kind of over the top with tons of different mushroom varieties. So that's on mine. I haven't done that one yet, but I have a lot of winter left. So ice skating, I want to go ice skating a few times. I want to break out my cross country skis. I have some movies I want to watch on mine, some trips I want to take. Things like that. Everyone's is different though. And except for we'll all talk about, I want to host this party, write this on your guys' list too. So you
can. Oh, okay. I was going to ask. So there is some overlap and then there's some specificity for each person. And does having that bucket list, what does that do for you in your day to day that you have that bucket list? Is it up somewhere visible?
Yeah, it's on a little bulletin board in our kitchen. So when I'm in and out, doing whatever I'm doing on the day-to-day, I see it and I'll think maybe now's the week I make my pie or whatever. Haven't got that inkling yet, but so I see it most days and I look at it and think about it, and it makes it more, I think if it was put away, I wouldn't think about it and then I wouldn't do anything. But if it's on the fridge or somewhere where I see it, I'm more likely going to do it.
You have that little spark of, ooh, that thing. That could be fun.
Yes, and I love the dopamine I get when I cross things off. So,
what have you crossed off?
Oh my gosh, I haven't crossed off anything in a while. So, okay. I think I wanted to make like Christmas cookies or something. So I was like, cross off.
Got that one done. Mm-hmm. Okay, Maggie, you talked with reporter Ava White for her story about learning to love the colds. I'm curious if that's something that came naturally. Were you born a person who loves the colds?
I was born to a woman who loves the cold.
Okay.
My mother brought me here from Vermont when I was five. And I guess you could say she brainwashed me, snowwashed me. She would always tell me how beautiful the snow was and how beautiful the winter was, and look how the stars jump out in the dark, and you can't see them in the summer, but you know they're there, you know, and messages like that. So it never, as a child, really occurred to me not to like the winter, although I like the change of seasons, because when winter changes, I'm pretty much done with it too. But when summer changes, I'm pretty much done with that too. So I love the variety that we have up here of things growing or things being put away, or Victoria talked about the rest that we need from the frenetic activities of summer. I agree with that. And Rainey talked about staying in bed for 12 hours, and that just doesn't work for me. But I have a dog, too, who gets me up at 4 to feed her and go outdoors. And then we go back to bed for, you know, a short period of time. But then she wants to get up, and she's worth getting up for. So.
Aww. That's so interesting that you get up and go outside at 4 in the morning and then go back to bed.
Yeah.
How did you come to that?
The dog insists that I get up and feed her.
There is no choice.
And I don't actually go out with her at 4 o'clock in the morning. I watch her through the sliding glass door. But she's a Sheltie, and she loves the winter and loves the snow, too. So, like this morning, she went out and buried herself into the new snow on the deck and then curled up and took a nap.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you were talking about how you love the changing of the seasons. And, you know, we, in the story with Ava White, you were talking about your love of the colds, but it sounds like you don't just love the cold, you love the season of winter and everything else that comes with it. What else do you appreciate about winter beyond being outdoors in the cold?
Winter, this kind of winter. Winter there, I think the Native Alaskans have something like 70 different words for snow, and we're pretty limited with our words for snow, cold, winter. So this kind of winter is exhilarating to me. And I did go outside early this morning and just felt the snow on my face and smelled the air that had not been smelled by everybody else yet. Mm. And it was quiet, and the birds weren't even awake yet, although I refilled my feeders last night after dark, because they're going to come again at first light this morning, and that's exciting for me, too. So I guess, you know, I don't mind the cold because, I mean, I've got a wool sweater on, I've got wool socks, I've got fleece-lined pants. I dress for the cold, so I'm not uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Ever.
It's not a matter of pushing through the discomfort. It's just you figure out how to be comfortable. And
plan. Plan is my mode of operation.
Okay. Something that I noticed with these first few stories for the Alaska Survival Kit, this isn't true of later stories, but these first three all had this through line of pushing yourself to get over the hump, you know, pushing yourself to get outdoors, pushing yourself to go see friends, pushing yourself to do the things that you know are going to be good for you. It can be tough, but it does pay off, is what we have heard from all of you in those stories. Rainey, it's one thing to know what you should be doing in winter. You talked to Rachel Cassandra about a bunch of different things that you can do to get through the winter and sort of adjust yourself to the dark days. But it is another thing to actually make yourself do it.
Yeah,
how do you recommend that people make themselves do the things that are actually going to be good for them?
I think focusing on the alternative. So the alternative is not doing those things and continuing to feel like you feel like sad and depressed and lonely and those like more negative type of emotions and sluggish. And then focusing on, okay, the alternative is, oh, I'm going to see my friend. I'm going to get that like interaction, or I'm going to eat something really healthy, and I'm going to go outside and feel the cold air and that mindfulness. Like that really was a beautiful story. I was like, oh dang, I'm right there with her.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just like, it is kind of forcing. You're doing the opposite of what you want to do, which I would love to just stay home and be warm, but I have to go outside and shovel off the, you know, the car and go to work and do these things. And it's not just about me in that moment. It's about the people that we serve and the things that we're doing and the other people in our lives and showing up for them. Because sometimes if we're just, you know, serving ourselves, I'm just going to stay home. But my friend invites me to dinner, like, I want to see her. I want to show up for her, and forcing myself to do that.
Yeah, I often think about the future version of myself, and I'm always like, is future Hannah going to be really mad at me right now?
It's a good technique.
That helps me. I have my, hold on, I have my pages mixed up here. Maggie, you talked about, you said something about learning to love the cold. You said, don't ask yourself, do I really want to go out there? Just go. How do you convince yourself on days you want to stay inside?
I don't ask myself. I really believe that, because I know what the answer is going to be. You know, like Rainey said, I just soon crawl back under the comforter and tell the dog to take a break and read a good book. But going outdoors, it only takes a few minutes to be out there and be glad that you're there.
So do you, I have this experience of being cozy indoors and thinking about outdoors as unappealing. Mm. Do you just push right through that feeling?
Yeah, I don't, I guess I just don't think about it. I walk most days with my daughter, who's a teacher, and she doesn't get off work until a little after 3, and we're not on the trails until 3:30 or 3:45 at the earliest. So I really want to, Rainey was right on, I really want to see her. I really want to have a relationship with her. It's very important to me. The dog is urging me on, let's go. And so I've got so many rewards for going that I don't even ask myself. I mean, do I want to go and see my daughter? Yes. Do I want to take the dog outside so that she'll sleep better tonight? Yes. So if I ask myself, that's what I'd get. So I just put on my boots and coat and say, meet you in 5 minutes and pick a trail. We do different trails, too. If the wind's blowing, we're in the woods. If the wind's not blowing, we're on the edge of Gottstein Park, looking out over the Turnagain Arm and looking at the Kenai Mountains and just loving it.
Mm, because once you push through, you're really happy to be there.
Yeah, and you say push through, and I have to ask myself, I don't really feel like I'm pushing much.
that's me painting this, showing my own perspective there again. interesting. Okay, and so Victoria, I have the same question for you, really. Like, you mentioned in the past that you grew up in this busy household with lots of family and visitors, but you had to be intentional about bringing that into your own life. Why did you want to do that? And how do you push through in the same way of like making sure that you are getting that done in the wintertime when what you want to do is maybe not put the effort in?
I think getting out the door is the hardest part. And you know, we all want to be comfy and cozy in our house, and it's easier to do that as well. But, you know, if you can get out the door, you can always leave early if you're not feeling it. I think there's like something to be said about learning about yourself and like, is this like, do I actually need time and space, or am I just wanting things to be convenient and easy right now? Or do I want to, like, intentionally build these relationships with the people that have invited me over, or whatever it is? But I think when I moved to Kenai in 2018 with my husband, we didn't really have any friends. We had some family down there, but the first few months were really lonely. And, you know, we didn't have internet either, so it's not like we could just watch TV. We just played board games and went on drives, and that just gets so old. And it was like getting into winter too, we eventually made friends with this group, and there's not a ton to do down there, so it was like go to the bars or go to your homes or go outside and do something. But in the winter it was a lot of like, oh, like we should have people over and we should go over to their house. And my friend ended up creating this like annual tradition of doing a big murder mystery party towards the beginning of winter, which was really fun. And it just kind of encouraged everyone in the group to do things like that and keep each other busy and keep us all close too. And like, I'm still really good friends with all those people, and our lives are in totally different places now. A lot of them have children, but I feel like we've kept up this like community of care and like fun with each other, which is, yeah, which I want to like bring into other parts of my life. Now that I live in Anchorage, I feel like I've just wanted to continue that because you get so much from it. And I like relying on my friends, not in like a burdensome way, but in like a, like I got them and they got me sort of way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rainey, you had said that in this story with Rachel Cassandra, you said that reaching out to family and friends is really good for the winter blues. Why is that?
I have a habit of isolating. So after a while of isolation, then I'm feeling lonely, kind of like Victoria was saying. And then I'm like, oh, I haven't really talked to anyone or like seen anyone. And like texting is great. Talking on the phone is even better. FaceTiming, awesome. But there's something about being in person with another human and that interaction, that energy, and just that company and like that support. And I think that support is huge during the winter months because it can get lonely and sad and dark and depressing. And so having that other person to like bring you out, or even an animal like that, like it brings you out of yourself. It's really helpful and supports your mental health in a really positive way.
Okay. Maggie, in the Alaska Survival Kit story, you said of deep cold, it is a mental, physical, spiritual healing experience. I want to know more about that.
I talked with my grandson last week, and it brought a new concept to me. He lives in Fairbanks, so he experiences cold at a much more extreme level than I do and tolerates it. I can't say he loves it, but he tolerates it. But he explained to me about an exhilarating experience that he does for himself. He calls it contrast showers. And he takes a shower that's as hot as he can tolerate it, then immediately changes it to as cold as he can get it. And he said that it really he can have some difficulty with the winter. It really breaks that routine for him. And I was thinking that perhaps that's how I feel with the extreme dark, extreme cold, and then my cozy warm house where I'm making soup or baking cookies. And it's the contrast that to me is exhilarating. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I was saying before we went on air that I had a friend visit me last week who is much more intrepid than I am. I tend to just hole up and not want to go outside. But she was here, and she wanted to go skiing, and she wanted to go ice skating, and she wanted to go sledding in the sub-zero temperatures. And so I obliged. And I had that feeling.
Yes.
I had the same feeling of being outdoors and being so delighted to come back indoors.
Yes.
And also enjoying the time outside, despite myself.
Good so. For you.
Well, thank you. Victoria, I want to go back to something you said. You said about going to events, you can always leave. Mm-hmm. I remember you said that to me when we were sort of brainstorming months ago for my story. You said that, and it had really never occurred to me. I mean, of course you can leave a party, but it hit home in a way where you can go for 10 minutes or you can go and intend to stay for 10 minutes and find that you're delighted and stay for 3 hours. What is it that permission does for you? Why do you think that really works?
I think it just helps you get out the door and get there. My friend had a birthday the other day, and she's kind of a newer friend. She invited me out to get a beer with her with a bunch of people were going, and I had a long week, and I was just like, I don't feel up to that. And the next day I was like, you know what? I could have just gone and given her, like, bought her a beer and said happy birthday and told her I had a long week and left, and that would have been totally fine. I would have, like, you know, added hours to this relationship that I'm building. And I was like, ooh, I kind of regret that I didn't go, but, you know, I was tired and it's just easier. I had just gotten home. I would have had to leave the house again, which is the whole thing in the winter. And, but yeah, I think just telling yourself, it's like, you know, I could just leave. I could have just gone and beer, and that would have been, you know, possible. It would have been easy for me to do given my energy level. But, yeah, so I think if you tell yourself that, it's kind of, you give yourself an out and you can take it or leave it after you get there and decide. Because most of the time it's like you get there and you start having fun and you're like, oh, this is, I'm great. I'm glad I came out, you know?
Yeah, that has been my experience also. Well, we are going to take a break in a couple minutes. I have one last little question, which is, you know, we've been talking about pushing through, getting yourself outdoors, getting yourself to do the thing. And this is so silly, but I got myself a new pair of winter boots this year. And instead of being a lace-up pair, you have to bend, you have to sit down and lace up and tie, they're a pair you can just slide on. Love. And I feel like that has made it so much easier to get outside because I can just step into it. So I'm curious if there is something for any of you guys that has really made it easier. Some silly little thing, maybe it's gear, maybe it's something else that helps you push through in that way. Rainey, you look like you have something.
For me, it's about like romanticizing the little things. And then also like pairing romance with reality. So the reality is the roads are crazy. I gotta drive like super like tense. But the romance is, oh, it's so gorgeous out. Like the trees look so beautiful with the frosted snow on them.
Okay, interesting.
I love candles. So if I'm like doing something at home or if I'm having people over, it's like, oh, I'll light a candle and make it extra cozy in here. Mm.
Well, I'll give a shout out to ice bugs because I have them on. I will take them off.
This is the kind of shoe?
Yes, it is a boot that has spikes in the bottom.
What?
Mm. And you can see that they're like little nails.
Maggie is holding her foot up in the studio.
And this particular pair, I don't have to lace up. I just turn a knob and they tighten. So bending over is not something I like to do. And this makes it a lot easier. I swear I won't take them off until May. I'm not going to fall on the ice. I'm determined. And these, I can walk upright. I can climb up hills. I can go down hills.
I did not know this sort of thing existed.
If you do not have the wherewithal to buy ice bugs, these were a gift. You can go to Skinny Raven, and after a certain age, and I think it might be as early as 55 or 60, they will put spikes in whatever pair of shoes or boots you bring to them.
My goodness.
That's a community gift that they give.
And I'm assuming if you are not yet 60, they will do that for a fee.
I guess. I've always been 60. For a long time.
Well, you are listening to Talk of Alaska. It is time to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear more from our guests about what they do to get through the winter in Alaska.
Hi, I'm Avery Elfelt, a reporter with the Alaska Desk. That's a joint reporting effort from Alaska Public Media, KHNS, where I work in Haines, and other public radio stations in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and the Aleutians. It allows us to connect you with the issues happening in communities all across the state. You can hear our stories during the morning news on Alaska News Nightly or online at alaskapublic.org. The Alaska Desk is only possible with the support of grants and listeners like you. Thank you.
You're listening to Talk of Alaska. I'm your host, Hannah Floor. And here in the studio today, we have Rainey Malone, mental health support specialist from Alaska Behavioral Health. Maggie Wilkinson, Anchorage resident. She's sharing her tips for loving the outdoors and the cold. And Victoria Peterson, Alaska journalist, sharing her tips for building community. And we're talking about ways to love the winter. That's part of the Alaska Public Media's new series, Alaska Survival Kit. So we've been talking about strategies to get through the winter. I want to get to some specifics. Maggie, you were just saying, let's talk about things to do. Let's talk about things to do. What do you do once you're outdoors?
Well, I think our community really rises to the occasion that we are a winter city. And before Christmas, we had the solstice tree walk out in Kincaid, where normally you have to be able to be on skis, which at almost 80, I'm not doing that anymore. But you can walk those same trails for the solstice tree, and different companies decorate a tree. And there's music, and there's hot chocolate, and there's roasted marshmallows, and there's lots of kids, and it's really, really fun. So that's already happened. That was over solstice. And the other thing that happens at solstice is at Eagle River Visitor Center, they have a lantern walk, and you walk again through trails that are maintained, and you've got your ice bugs on so you're not slipping, and walk through the woods with a guide who's taking you down to the Eagle River Viewing Station, and you look up that valley and point out the stars. You see constellations, which you don't see from Anchorage because of light pollution. So that's a couple things to do. But coming up is the Anchorage Folk Festival, which is coming up at the end of this month. I think it's the 29th, but you'll have to verify that. And groups of musicians go to the Wendy Williamson Auditorium and play for 15 minutes each. So it's free. You can go and sit in the, be part of the people listening. And if you don't like the act, it's only 15 minutes. And there's another one coming up. And it's just so, the energy level is wonderful. So for people who don't want to be out walking in the woods, go to the Anchorage Folk Festival and charge your batteries that way.
Or when, if you need to warm up after walking in the woods.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Victoria, when I was brainstorming my story about gatherings with you, you had so many fun examples of things that you do with family and friends. One of my favorites was your harvesting competition. Can you talk about that one?
Yeah, my family does this thing called Forage Fest where we spend all year. It's usually in the winter. We had it in November, but it's usually like 10 or so members of my family. We go outside, you know, spend our year going outside and foraging things, and then we come together and we do like a gift exchange. So I made jam this year. I went to Utah to visit some family, and we got peaches, fresh peaches, during the peak of peach season. So we made peach jam, and that was my gift for everyone. But most of the time, it's Alaska stuff. So my aunt has done some really cool things with Devil's Club bark, or like the stem of it, and dried it and made like jewelry out of it. It's pretty unique. My stepmom has done like apple cordial from a relative's apple tree. My aunt made homemade paper with wildflower seeds one year. Like we kind of go a little crazy, but it's been fun, and we've been doing it for a really long time. So it's, you know, every summer it's like, what do I get outside and what do I forage to kind of like work on in the winter to give to my family and friends. So yeah, that's one way we like to get together in the winter and kind of like enjoy the fruits of our labor from the crazy summer. But other things is, you know, just like casual dinner parties. my husband and I really like to cook. So if we have like a cooking project in mind, it's like, oh, we should invite some people over to enjoy that with us. Or
do you use the people that you invite over as guinea pigs? Is it like, we're going to do this like wild new creation that we've never tried and we're going to have our friends eat it even though it's the first trial?
Yeah, I guess. I don't think they go into it feeling like nervous or anything. But like we did this on New Year's Eve, like the day before New Year's Eve, my husband was like, I think I want Korean barbecue tomorrow. So he went to the store and bought like the setup for the table and meat and kimchi and different banchans to try. And like everyone was really into it. It was really good. So it's just kind of like things that we want to do on a whim. We sort of think of like, ooh, how can we incorporate our friends into this? But yeah, it doesn't all revolve around food, though. There's some other ideas, you know, the bucket list and movie nights. And I just sort of think like, you know, week to week, it's like, what do I feel like doing? And what do I want to do with the people around me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rainey, we've talked about getting your body accustomed to the dark and sort of keeping it from going into that 12-hour slumber. But what are the specifics that you are doing in the evening and then in the morning to sort of regulate your circadian rhythm and keep yourself in a healthy state?
Yeah, so my evening routine is pretty extensive. but it's about like down-regulating and calming your nervous system, mm-hmm. and telling your brain that it's time to wind down. So you're creating like these habits that your brain is now associating with it's time for bed.
And is this just in the wintertime? Do you have like a specific nighttime routine in the winter, or are you doing this all year long?
I try to do this all year long, but I try to be more intentional about it in the wintertime because I know that I'm prone to like staying in bed or I'm a night owl. I will stay up super late. So yeah, it's about like the lighting in the home. So making, it's already dark outside, so the mood is already set for nighttime. But turning off the big lights and then using like red lights, if you could do the red or the soft warm yellow lights, those like trigger the production of melatonin. And melatonin is what tells your brain and body to go to sleep. So it's producing like that really calming effect. And then yes, Victoria, candles, 100%. Using aromatherapy to kind of like also create that sense of like calm. And then speaking of calm, there's a magnesium supplement called Calm that magnesium assists with that production of not only the melatonin, but serotonin, which is a calming hormone. And so it's really nice to have that in the evening. You can use the hot water to make a drink with that. And then there also is an alternative. I like to use sparkling water and then add it to that with some tart organic cherry juice. And cherry juice is a natural source of melatonin. So you're really like tripling up on all of these like calming features. And then if you are like a TV person, maybe watching something that you've already watched, so you're not like too mentally stimulated.
Or you're not really invested.
Yeah. So like your comfort show. And then trying to turn the TV off at least 30 minutes before bedtime and going to something else like coloring or reading or something like that.
Okay. And then what happens in the morning? I have heard that you said that you're not supposed to have coffee right away. I need to know more about this because my hack for the morning is my alarm. I have a coffee pot sitting directly next to my bed, all primed. And when my alarm goes off, I hit the on switch and then I continue to sleep until the noise and smell of it pulls me out of
bed. Oh, that is awesome.
So I feel very proud of myself for that. So I'm very sad to hear that you're not supposed to be drinking coffee for the first half hour.
Well, to clarify, I don't drink coffee for the first half hour of waking up because when you first wake up, you're producing the highest levels of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So that's why sometimes if they get woken up, like they get like angry or really crabby or like violent. It's because their stress response has been triggered. Their fight or flight is kicked on.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's why people are like that in the morning. So you want to take time to let your body naturally kind of like regulate. And that's what I'll do. And then I'll have like a vitamin drink while I'm getting ready. And making my bed is a habit that I've done since I was little. And then turning up the big lights and then listening to like a podcast or a news or something that's going to kind of like stimulate your mind while you're getting ready. And then if you have happy lights, obviously, like, the more light, the better. So anything that's going to get you kind of alert your system. And I'm not brave enough to take a cold shower in the morning, but a cool shower wouldn't, you know, it would do the trick. But anything that's just going to kind of wake your brain and body up.
I'm assuming that cold shower needs to happen 30 minutes after you've awoken. Otherwise, it'll really get that cortisol going.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we've got an email here. This is from, and Matt, I apologize, I'm going to mispronounce your last name, but Matt Leral. He says he is in Fairbanks and he spends quite a bit of time out in the cold. And he says, one of the first things that I explain to friends who want to join my wife and I outside is that you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. He says that's the short version of saying you're never going to get things perfect when you head outside until you figure out what works for you. So you've got to accept the idea that it's okay not to have everything perfect and be just a little bit uncomfortable. I have heard that from a friend of mine who lived up in Bethel for decades. She said that her aunt and uncle told her the same thing when she moved up. It's okay to be cold. It's okay to be uncomfortable. Does anybody have a feeling about that? Maggie, you look like you're thinking about it.
I don't like being uncomfortable. And I don't really mind being cold if I'm not uncomfortable. So that's a little complicated answer. But I think if there's something like my thumbs get really cold in my mittens, and so I try to bring them in with the rest of my fingers. My family has bought me hand warmers that are electronic. You plug them in like a cell phone, and you can turn it as hot as you want, put them in my mittens, and put my thumbs in there too, and I'm not uncomfortable anymore. So I think finding the solution for what's uncomfortable, or maybe even telling yourself, is that really all that uncomfortable, or do you just want to complain? You know, sometimes people just want to complain.
As someone who lives with children, that sounds familiar. We have another email here. This is from Rachel Spillman. And she says she would like to point out what a privilege it is to dress warm with appropriate clothing.
Yes.
It is true. Winter clothing is extremely expensive. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And she's asking if we have any community resources to educate our listeners to help families obtain appropriate gear. I don't have any resources. I don't know if either any of you do. But I think that is a really great point. It can be super hard to access those things.
I want to shout out to Flying Dutchman because they are collecting cold weather gear. Go through your closet. I found that I had 14 coats, and I don't need 14 coats. And so I took the ones that I wasn't that fond of, that weren't the ones that I go to, that sit there in the closet all winter, and took them to Flying Dutchman. They have a handout on Wednesdays, and I believe it's down at the park, the Center Park, in the Midtown, and on Sundays somewhere else. But Flying Dutchman is a bakery located on Abbott Road. It's a tiny little hole in the wall. They're doing marvelous things in our community by caring for other people, and so if you have extra gear, take it there. If you need extra gear, contact them, and they will give it away. Mm-hmm. There are thrift shops that will sell it to you, and you can get a pretty good bargain at most of the thrift shops. But for free, you can't beat that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what is available in other communities. I know in my hometown in Southeast in Petersburg, the Salvation Army has a policy all winter long where coats are all free.
Oh,
no matter what, you can come in and you can get the coats for free. So, it'd be interesting to hear what's happening in other neighborhoods or in other communities, rather. Well, it is time to take another break. You are listening to Talk of Alaska. And when we come back, we'll hear more from our guests. You're listening to Talk of Alaska. I'm your host, Hannah Floor. And here in the studio today, we have Rainey Malone, Maggie Wilkinson, and Victoria Peterson. We're talking about ways to love the winter. That's as part of Alaska Public Media's new series, the Alaska Survival Kit. And we've got a caller on the phone from Eagle River talking about snow-positive songs and movies. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Hannah. Mm-hmm. All right, so Werner Herzog, I think we know him from Grizzly Man. He did that Grizzly Man movie, which I found amazingly entertaining. He has a movie called Happy People. And, well, here's a hint. It's in subtitles. But it's about our friends across the ocean here and how they work the winter. And it's good. It's called Happy People. You can get it at the Anchorage Public Libraries, which are also an important part of making through the winter. And the other great one is about Amundsen. And we know him from being the first guy to the South Pole and other accomplishments. And it's called The Last Place on Earth. And it's a series of five DVDs. And it's comparing the English or the British approach to the South Pole simultaneously with the Norwegian attempt or successful attempt. And guys, everyone needs to watch that movie. It's about a complete concept of winter. And I think we all know what happened to the British attempt.
I'm assuming that the Norwegians had a little bit, had a better strategy for making it through.
Completely. And the other guys ended up in a tent with scurvy and frozen to death. So anyhow, we need to watch that. And guys, I went to school here. I was born here, public schools. And year after year, we would have, no offense, folks, but Lower 48ers teaching us. And they almost without exception handed out a negative view of our climate and our winter. And that's something we have to be aware of, because most of my friends from school left. And I'm wondering why. Well, I shouldn't wonder why. But remember, guys, I went. I did a thing on Facebook, and I asked guys, what are the best winter songs? And, you know, a lot of the Christmas songs could classify as positive winter songs. But Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, I think it's Dean Martin. Guys, that's the only really positive song. It's about sitting by the fire and being cozy and hot chocolate and stuff. But that's... don't we have any more positive songs about winter? Someone, we should work on a list, because winter can be positive. And of course, Nordic skiing, ice skating, I'm classic, and ski touring, it combines the dogs. matter of fact, one's shaking his collar right now, but I'm digging in my garage trying to find my gators right now. I'm ready to go skiing. But also Nordic tracks, those elliptical things. My friends in Eagle River have one, and they're about to tell me to stop coming over, because I don't know. They really help the joint issues. You know, I'm a sexagenarian now, so things are catching up on me. Also, someone mentioned lacing boots. Oh, boy, do I agree with that. It's a pain in the butt. But guess what? Bunny boots. I still have 10 toes. And the bunny boots, if you leave them loosely laced, you can step into them like Crocs. And then you only put them up tight when it's, you know, you're going in deep snow and then you want gaiters.
Yeah.
But yeah. Boots are great.
What I'm hearing you saying is there's a lot that comes down to attitude. And I'd like to talk about that with our guests. Maggie, you're nodding.
Yeah, I think that the attitude of winter and loving it, and that makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference for anything that we do, doesn't it? I'm not really loving cooking, but my husband and I take turns. He cooks a week and I cook a week. And having an attitude of, you know, what can I fix that he would really like makes it possible, because I would just have peanut butter and crackers.
Yeah, popcorn all week long.
Absolutely.
And maybe we can put notes in the on the web page with those movie titles. I think that would be great to have that resource. I want to ask you guys if there's anything we missed, but first, Rainey, I'm curious, we've been talking about seasonal blues, but I'm curious if there's a distinction between seasonal blues and depression. What's the difference, and when should people recognize that maybe they need to get professional help?
Yeah, so if there's like a sprinkle of sadness here and there, that's kind of like the typical like experience that can happen in the wintertime. If you're already prone to depression, and then if you're consistently feeling low energy, no motivation, having a hard time getting out of bed, staying in bed too long consistently, and feeling down and depressed for more than, you know, consecutive days in a row, and then also if you are having thoughts of harming yourself or others. And so if your thoughts start to get really dark, you know, those are clear warning signs that you should reach out for support. So that obviously if it's a crisis, there's 988 crisis line, and then Alaska Behavioral Health has same-day walk-in crisis services at any of our clinics. And then if you're in Fairbanks, they have a 24/7 mobile crisis team as well.
Here in Anchorage, Alaska Behavioral Health has a 24-hour crisis.
That's in Fairbanks for the mobile crisis center, but our Anchorage department does have a mobile crisis as well. So if you are in a crisis, obviously call 911 or 988. If you're not, please seek out professional support. We need that support from family and friends, but sometimes we need professional services. And at Alaska Behavioral Health, we provide services of that nature. And then also specifically for what I do, we work on behavior activation, which is coming up with activities to help support your mental health in a positive way. So, yeah, that's out there.
And Victoria, you've been creating events and hosting for years. I'm curious if you have advice for someone who's a little intimidated and looking for a way to start small.
Yeah, I think there's a level of vulnerability that comes with opening your home to other people. And, you know, you're putting time, possibly money, energy into doing something. And it might not go exactly the way you want. But I think if you just kind of have a carefree attitude about it and, you know, plan what you need to plan and maybe start small, too. If you've never done like a dinner party or something, maybe just have people over for a cafe or, you know, bucket lists or just do something small like a movie night. And, you know, it doesn't have to be expensive. You can just, you know, microwave some popcorn and call it good. And I think the important thing to remember is like you just want to care for your friends. And however you do that is fine. And I don't think people are walking into, I'm certainly not, I'm not walking into someone's house and expecting like a restaurant quality meal and like to be served hand and foot. But so yeah, just how would you care for your friends if they entered your home? Like it's probably going to be good enough, you know, for them. And I think they're just happy to have somewhere to go. And yeah, I think there are completely free ways to host too. I know that people are like, well, I can't afford to make a meal for my friends or, you know, host in this way. It's expensive, but there are free things you can do. Movie nights, potlucks are great. And, you know, more creatively too, it's like spelling bees or bucket lists and stuff like that are totally free.
Oh, I like the idea of a spelling bee. That's fun. In the minute we have left, Maggie, we were talking about how it's really a winter wonderland out there. It's snowed a ton. It's going to get cold again. What are you excited to do today in this new snowy wonderland?
Well, today's a great day because it is above freezing and we do have new snow and we have good walking surfaces with the right gear. And I'm hoping one of my favorite walks is to walk between the lakes. Jewel Lake, Sunday Lake, Sand Lake are all in a row. And the only time you can walk there is in the winter because it's a marsh and it's frozen. Or out at Potter Marsh is frozen in the winter. You can skate there. You can walk there. I like to do those particular walks when it's this temperature because, yes, it's cold, but it's above freezing and the snow is fresh. And the most thing that I want to be cautious of is the driving because there's some really fast drivers out there to look out for. And to care for each other, make sure that each other are warm and safe and comfortable.
Thank you for that ending on that lovely note. Well, thank you all for coming in for Talk of Alaska today. We've been talking with Rainey Malone, Maggie Wilkinson, and Victoria Peterson. And a big thanks, as always, to our audio engineer, Crystal Hyde, and producer, Madeline Rose. And we had Ava White on phones. You can find this program and past episodes on our website at alaskapublic.org. And we would also love to hear from you. Share your thoughts or suggestions by emailing us, talk@alaskapublic.org. I'm Hannah Flohr. This has been Talk of Alaska. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.